Welcome in to week two of the Best of Boston Sports Media. My name is Drew Busney, and let me remind you how this works. I take all the sports shows from this week, such as the ones from 985 The Sports Hub, WEEI, NBC Sports Boston, NESN, Barstool, all of them. I summarize them, and I give you the top 10 takes from this past week. Now, as a reminder, that Felger and Mass took home the number one spot last week. That got them 3 points. Second place gets you 2 points. Third place gets you 1 point. Now, before we begin, I need to tell you there is surprise number one, a show I did not think was going to win, basically ever. But week two of the Best of Boston Sports Media starts now. Coming at number 10 is Patriots Talk with Tommy Curran, saying Belichick's mistakes in team development has cascaded into the problems that we see now in present times, now under Mike Vrabel. Saying his inability to develop coaches and players has hurt the Patriots. We noticed this with Jerod Mayo, DeMarcus Covington, Bill O'Brien struggled, Matt Patricia wasn't good in his role. It seems near the end of Bill Belichick's tenure, the spots he put the coaches in weren't the right fits. Did anyone ever really see Matt Patricia being an offensive coordinator? Did anyone ever see Jerod Mayo being a successful head coach? Now, I'm not saying it's all on Bill Belichick, that I'm not saying he was selfish and he only focused on himself. But if you look at the futures of the coaches Bill Belichick supervised, I wouldn't say they have a spectacular record. Bill O'Brien, good in Houston. Not spectacular. Coaches definitely go elsewhere. Josh McDaniels, terrible head coach elsewhere. It makes you wonder if there was some sabotage there under Bill Belichick, because he knew they were good coaches under him, but the minute these coaches went out and took up higher roles or outside of the Patriots, there was definitely a struggle. There was some success, but not to the level that Bill Belichick had. So it makes you wonder the development there, and it makes you wonder now under Mike Vrabel, how is he going to develop the coaches? The coaches, if you look at their ages or on the younger side, have already been head coaches. Most of them failed. So what's going to happen if the Patriots do well? What's going to happen to these assistant head coaches? How is Mike Vrabel going to oversee them? And how is he going to teach them? Number 9 is last week's winner. The first time they show up on today's show, Felger and Mass, talking about the coaching issues facing the Boston Celtics. There's still a worry about their play style. Too many threes, the reliance on, let's shoot 60 free throws a game. And if they don't go in, we're going to lose. But boy, if they go in, then we're going to blow this team out. It's led again to inconsistency. Sometimes we get out-coached in critical moments. A lot of times down the stretch, we saw it last week. Joe Mazzulla came out and said, yeah, it's my fault we lost. I should have called a timeout. And at some point, you have to make changes. I'm not saying we sit here and fire the coach. But Mazzulla needs to get better in the critical moments, when to call a timeout, the plays he draws up. Because a lot of times, he seems like a really, really good coach. A championship-winning coach. But sometimes, you can really see how young he is, how inexperienced he is. And it can hurt the team. I'm not saying it's all his fault. Tatum finally hit a game-winner against the Pelicans. Doesn't usually hit those game-winners. And I know people are going to sit here and argue that he's clutch. But if you're a true fan, the clutch is not just the game-winning shots, but it's the shots that put the game out of reach or get us back in the game. It's not just the as-the-time-expires shots. So you have to look at that. That he hits a couple game-winners as time expires, but there's other clutch moments throughout the game, whether it's to continue the run or stop the bleeding because the other team is going to run, that he struggles in. At some point, that all needs to come together. There can't be inconsistencies in when we call timeout and in Joe Mazzulla's strategy. We need to get away from the threes, and Tatum needs to be more clutch. Really, the whole team needs to be more clutch as time expires. Coming in at number 8 in the leaderboard today is also from Felger and Mass, talking about the Red Sox' lack of big moves. There's really no star power on the team. The roster probably does not have enough to have a competitive series against who I think are the favorites in the AL, the Yankees. We did go out and we traded for Crochet. We signed Buehler, who had the last out in the World Series, but is it enough? The reliance on our prospects that are coming up from AAA, from AA, is seemingly what the front office and Sam Kennedy and Craig Breslow are relying on. What I think is they see the top prospects of the Red Sox coming up, they're ranked high. I'm going to admit, we have good prospects. I think they think that we can win just with them. But it feels like there's a reliance on these young players, and that doesn't always work out. You know, we have to wait 5 years to see how they pan out, especially in the major leagues. It just feels like they're not doing enough to have the veterans around them, because I think you need veteran star players now to make an impact and help the young players. I don't think we can rely on the young players to take us to the World Series this year. So we need to go out. Alex Bregman's really the last big name out there. I'd love to see him. I don't want to overpay because he's on the older side. But if we can get him for a fair contract, I think that's a win. And there's a tendency, because for the Red Sox, to overpay because no one wants to come here. But we need to surround our young superstars to be with people who know how to win the championship. And Alex Bregman's a great person with that. Walker Buehler's a great person with that. But we can't rely this year solely on our young players, because I think it'll be a fluke if we get well into the playoffs with just them. Let's keep it going to number 7 from WEEI Afternoon, saying that the NHL trade deadline, which is coming up, that the Bruins need to be buyers. They sit outside the wild card spot, I believe 4 points right now after the bad loss to the Rangers at MSG. And it's a tough debate, because I don't think our team is good enough to make a run in the playoffs. We're so up and down. We win huge, then we lose huge. I don't really know what we can fix. It might just be that we're relying too much on this interim head coach. We might need to go out in the offseason. We have a lot of old players, but if we go out and we buy and we spend all these assets and it doesn't work out, we're wasting our future, because I think the guys we're going to trade for are probably going to be people that have 1 year or so left on their contract, and who knows if they're going to want to re-sign. That's another story we can get to, but does it make more sense to try and squeak into the playoffs and hope for a miracle run? Or does it make more sense to trade the likes of Marchand people and trade them for young players' assets and revolve this new rebound about our young superstar, Charlie McAvoy? Is that the way to go? Number 6 is from Celtics Postgame Pod. Talking about, we mentioned this earlier, the Celtics' three-point dependence. And it's really the trend in the NBA. Everyone wants to shoot threes. You live and die by the three. The Celtics were really the ones that started that. But when they lose, we get all flustered because the threes aren't going in. It doesn't always seem like we adapt. If the threes aren't going in, I don't really feel we adapt to only going to the paint. Teams know how to defend against the Celtics at this point, and it's to stop the three. So it might not always go in. When it does go in, we win. But if it doesn't go in, we need to be quicker on transitioning our offensive game plan to keep us in the games. Because sometimes when I feel like the threes don't come in or don't go in, then we really lost the game and we rely on that for the full 40 minutes when we're still a good team if we score twos. We can still make it competitive, win games. We're the best team in the league. So that adjustment needs to be quicker when those aren't going in. Number 5 is from Zolak and Bertrand talking about the Patriots draft strategy, saying that we have to draft a receiver, corner, or pass rusher because that's how you build a team. We don't want to build our team around non-premium positions, which I agree. From what I was thinking, I think either Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter will go number 1, and I think the Browns and Giants will take quarterbacks. So I think we just take whoever wasn't taken at 1, and Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, those are premium positions which we need in corner, linebacker, or wide receiver. And I think that's the way to go. I think we just react to whatever happened at 1. I don't really think we need to trade back because it's not the best draft class in the world. I would love for us maybe trade our later picks and move into day 2, get more second, third rounders, because I don't always feel like do something with getting rid of the 6th and 7th rounders or just moving up, because it's not the strongest draft class. Number 4, also from Zolak and Bertrand, about the Patriots trading for Myles Garrett, who has requested a trade from the Cleveland Browns. Now he's a game changer, but it comes down to the appeal of going to Foxborough. No offense, Foxborough, you're not really in Boston, even though we're the New England Patriots. You're really well outside of Boston. We are building a new training center, but is it really a destination? Is Drake May what Tom Brady was and what other good quarterbacks are? Do people want to come and play for Drake May? Myles Garrett, I'm not sure if his championship timeline lines up. He wants to win now. I think the Patriots are a few years away from being in contention. It will be great if we could have him. He's a superstar player, but I just don't think it lines up and it's beneficial for both teams and what we would have to give up to get him. We'll be back in 30 seconds as we round out our top three of this week's show. Coming in at number three from Celtics postgame pod, gaining 1 point on tonight's leaderboard. Talking about the Celtics comeback against the 76ers. Great. The first time I've seen this year. Double-digit rally coming back. We noticed that a lot when we were down last year and the year before. This year, it either feels like we've been blown out or it's been a close game. We blow them out. There hasn't really been a comeback, but the focus looks like it's back. Joe Mazzulla challenged him at halftime, and it was great to see the level of fight that I feel like we've just been coasting by this season because we know we're a good team. We know we're going to get the playoffs. But I'd like to see how we have that fight and we have the focus. We have the ability to turn around because it's going to come in handy. Number two, getting 2 points from Felger and Mass. Patriots offseason moves, saying that we need to overpay and get T. Higgins. We need a superstar wide receiver from Drake May. We can't get by with the average Pop Douglas, Keyshawn Booty, Javon Baker, Jalen Polk. We just can't get by with them. You need superstar wide receivers. You see that in all the playoff teams. They have superstar wide receivers. Terry McLaurin, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown. All of them. That's why they're so good, because they have those superstars. And that's what the Patriots need to do. And that's what they have to get. Now, coming in at number one is a complete surprise from WI, the Greg Hill Show, talking about the new ownership from the Celtics. Fenway Sports Group, John Henry want to buy it. Philadelphia Eagles owner wants to buy it. But the real question is here is, we have an expensive roster. I believe around $500 million. It's, if the new owner comes in, how does that affect our championship timeline? Is it we have to win the next 2 years before the new owner takes ownership, I believe, in 2028? Because after 2028, are they going to strip us down because they don't want to pay? How strategic are we going to be in who we sell to, because we want to keep this championship window open, which could be open for the next 5-10 years. It's a big question on who the next owner of the Celtics are going to be, because that could change the way our roster goes and what our championship timeline is. Well, thank you very much for tuning into week two of the Best of Boston Sports Media. Tune in on Tuesday for Will Squared, Will and Brody leading the Tuesday edition of the Drew Busney Show. I'll be back for week three of the Best of Boston Sports next Thursday, 7:30 on all your podcast platforms.